AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario,
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario,
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Just got killed by a Daewoo Lanos, motherfucker. How you like me now, huh?
And Mr. Cullen.
The silver and black are back.
I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Really?
Really? Really?
Really?
Really? Really? Really?
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
The artist must possess a conqueror's soul that dares and defies.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports.
Gong it out!
Damn it.
Shot!
Gong it out, Vic. Frogman Friday. The mechanics have been off a little bit today.
No,
but
no.
Hey, it's all good. We was telling stories from days gone by.
Days that have gone so
and we
far
dug
away.
So deep.
We dug real deep.
We went all the way, and it was to some degree off the air, and maybe we'll get to it, I don't know, at some point between now and 7 p.m. because we got a full four-hour show. But we were digging deep before the show and during the show and the commercial breaks about a certain voice of a certain team that's getting sideways.
Oh, we were, yes.
We'll have to address that at some point. I don't think it's
now,
but...
Matt, you know, I run reconnaissance coast to coast. For a guy that doesn't do much, I run a lot of reconnaissance.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of information. There's a lot of information that comes through me, like an oracle, a Delphi. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud to reap some of that information and deliver it to people that enjoy it.
Put a smile on my face, that's for sure.
Alex Wood's going to put a smile on your face because he's back.
Wood.
He's back to being a Dodger. We talked to Adrian Gonzalez last hour in the kitchen of one of his restaurants. Don McLean joined us earlier.
It was loud. I've got to believe he was at a Jersey Mike's.
We're going to play it again. And like you said before the show, Matt, even though there's been really long shows the last 3 weeks, people are clamoring for the return of the Before the Show podcast, which is a separate
not a bad idea.
Prescription. It's got to be done, Matt.
It most definitely does.
It's got to be done.
We'll start Monday.
I should have done some today.
We'll start Monday. Knock it out.
I should have done some today, but did not. Now, we still have the grant in your hand this very hour. The grant in your hand is applicable. Am I wrong?
End of the segment. Last chance until Monday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You hear the keyword. You text it to 200-200. You can win $1,000. You get that call back. Just make sure you answer the phone. Our man Paul did it and won a grand 2 weeks ago.
It goes all the way till 6. So this is it.
This is it. It's your last chance, and it'll start again next week at 6 a.m.
Now, I know it's not Racist Tuesday, Matt.
But
that chopped up snake on the Philadelphia floor, couldn't that be a white supremacist snake to some people? Don't they think the chopped up don't tread on me snake is a white supremacist snake?
I hope not.
Me too. Represents Ben Franklin. No taxation without representation.
Exactly right.
Come on now.
Don't be treading on me.
But
I like that snake.
You know, I'm sure there's some people that could get
gonna
triggered
allow them to
by that.
Not going to allow them. They can't have it. You can't take it. They're on the floor. 76ers are playing.
Just like they can't have the Betsy Ross flag with the round. Oh, look,
they have
that too. They have the 13 states.
That's right.
Look at that.
Hey,
that whole floor is
Philadelphia.
That's a racist floor.
Birthplace of our nation.
The whole floor.
Brotherly love and cursive.
The floor is racist.
I love the cursive too.
That is a racist floor.
No, it's not.
At the Wells Fargo Center. And Wells Fargo is racist too.
Of our nation. Well, Wells Fargo wagon is probably a little racist.
Here comes a Wells Fargo wagon. You better not be black or Mexican.
Coming down the street. There's nothing coming for any minorities.
But I got some money for you, Whitey.
That's terrible.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
It's a Frogman Friday, and we're happy to be with you.
What do we do?
We have all the games on the station, and that rolls us into the top story of the day. This Sunday, brought to you by Bosley, we have NFL football action, which is the top story of the day.
Top story of the day.
All right, P, let's discuss.
It's a racist-ass floor, Matt.
You know what's racist?
You got the flag, the Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is going to block this floor.
It's American history.
Well, he blocked the shoes. He's going to block that floor.
Nike didn't do the floor. The 76ers did the floor. And that's not 1976. a 1776.
Those were the freaking shoes that Kaepernick was.
I'll tell you what's racist is that arrow on the side of the Chiefs helmet. Racist. You know what else is
I have
racist?
An arrow tattooed on me too. Does that make me a racist?
No, that's not what makes you a racist.
That's a lot of other things.
Oh, an arrowhead.
Racist Tuesday!
Cinderella story. Tennessee Titans' Clay Travis joined us before the tilt against the Ravens, in which the Titans thoroughly dominated Baltimore.
Did he come on Tuesday? Put an end. Hell of a racist Tuesday.
Absolutely. It is a team that squeaked in by winning their Week 17 contest over the Texans, who are resting all of their starters, and now they might find themselves punching a ticket to Super Bowl 54, and boy, oh boy, if you don't have a rooting interest, it would be a little bit fun.
I'd love to see the Titans.
And a great redemption story for Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, God.
Cast off for pennies on the dollar.
Wide receiver for Sherman at A&M.
Drafted in the first round. Handed a $100 million contract by the Dolphins. Adam Gates turned on him.
Tannehill's a starting quarterback in the NFL, and Johnny Manziel is not.
How about that, by the way? Tannehill, and if you're saying, well, great running game. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It's the most dominant running game we've seen in probably the last decade.
Still got to hit those passes like Dilford down the stretch when they bite on the freaking safety.
You can't dink and dunk your way to a passer rating of 119 since being named the starter. Tannehill's got a sweet arm. He's got a nice touch, and he's throwing them deep balls for big scores. And he did it last week. Even though he only threw for 78 yards, guess what? He threw two touchdown passes in their first two possessions, got up 14-0, and the Ravens were never able to recover. Now, as we saw last week, the Chiefs able to recover rather quickly from large deficits because they have the most magical quarterback that we've seen in quite some time, reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes. And believe it or not,
do you believe in magic?
Mahomes.
Because Mahomes got it.
It's pretty damn special. Sidearm throws. No-look passes, spreads them out to all those receivers. They got that wild rookie, Mecole Hardman, and his super-fast legs.
Crazy urine split-stream throws.
Cartoonish.
Split-stream.
Split-stream throws. Cartoonish-like speed on Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman has certainly been tough to slow down, but there is a way to slow it. And the Giants proved you can do it. One of the most prodigious offensive attacks, of course, I believe was 2007. The Patriots looking to become just the second team to ever go through an entire season undefeated regular season in playoffs, and they ran into a brutish offensive line with a big ass back named Brandon Jacobs that was sucking back.
Auburn transfer.
9 minute drives in each quarter.
Well, sucking off the clock.
Exactly right.
Well, sucking time off the clock.
That's what I'm trying to say there.
Because the clock doesn't have anything you can suck.
No. He's, you know what he's doing? He's running the ball effectively, and the time's coming off the clock is what he was doing there. That's what I'm getting at. And certainly that is an issue that the Chiefs could face because the Titans have done it. The Titans have done it all playoffs long.
You know, you work that clock, Matt. You work it hard.
You want to win this game? How bad do you want to win
work
this game?
Work that clock.
Because I'm going to tell you what you have to do.
Work it with both hands.
All right? I know you don't like it, but this is what you got to do if you want to make the clock happy.
My arm hurts. Work it!
The Titans, interestingly enough, these two teams met in Week 10, and even though the Titans lost the time of possession battle by 15 minutes, Pat Mahomes threw for 440 yards, they still won the game 35-32.
Well, that's... not
kind
ideal.
Kind of wacky.
Not ideal.
Kind of wacky.
Kind of an odd stat. Usually doesn't really figure into a game like that. But I just can't wait to watch a game, Matt. I'm excited because we're running all the games today on the station.
Exactly right, man. Derrick Henry, we shared this yesterday. He is en route to one of the most dominant postseason performances by a running back ever. He already has surpassed Earl Campbell for the second most rushing yards in postseason history for the Titans, and he is creeping up on Eddie George, who was 210 yards ahead of him.
Earl could suck off the clock.
That's a bad way to describe.
That's good, though.
Taking time.
I think that you should make that your thing.
I'm going to go ahead and leave that one there.
You know what? Luka Doncic just rolled up in one of those 1980s London fog kind of trench coats.
Oh, really?
The same that Baker Mayfield was wearing when he had the cop stash. Is that 1980s trench coat coming back?
Obviously.
Like the tan one?
I mean, obviously.
That's pretty sweet. I want one in a fedora and a Tommy gun.
And a pipe. That's what I want. And wristbands.
Crowbar.
And I want some Varnay sunglasses.
Ooh, like Casey Jones.
Yeah. And I want a beeper.
Okay, so who else got a chance with that clock?
I'll tell you who else has a chance to suck back some clock.
Some clock sucking?
Raheem Mostert. Tevin Coleman.
From 49ers?
Kyle Juszczyk.
I heard there's some great prop bets on Mostert.
That's the word
from
on the
street. Niners.
The 49ers last week, if you watched that divisional round contest, Jimmy G was slinging it around a little bit, throwing touchdown passes to dudes like Kendrick Bourne and George Kittle in the middle of the field, and then all of a sudden he threw that interception, and Kyle Shanahan went, nope.
No lip.
Not happening.
Sucking my upper lip up.
We are going to be running the ball. How about a 10-play, 10-rush drive for a touchdown with Tevin Coleman is what we're going to be doing moving forward. These two teams, again, much like the Chiefs and Titans, it is a rematch. They met in Week 12, and oh boy, was it ugly. Now, he did not say they caught the San Francisco flu.
No, but you can because you might step on a needle
and
that has a hepatitis C.
So you step on the needle, then you step in a poop.
The C and the B.
And it's double hep.
Your yellowy eyes tell the tale.
That's what you get up there. But it was the worst contest for a 13-3 Green Bay team that they played all season. Completely and thoroughly dominated. 37-8 in that contest.
They had a rough time on the West Coast this year.
Interesting. Got hammered by the Chargers. Rodgers said Hollywood flu. Hammered by the 49ers. And he's like, oh, them's the breaks. You know, sometimes you just you don't perform. Wild number, Aaron Rodgers. And I guess it's not that wild, right? I think it was the Ernie Accorsi School of Scouting and Drafting. He said, A, you got to find yourself a quarterback, and B, you then got to find somebody who can go get the other team's quarterback. That's why the Giants always drafted quarterbacks regularly, and they also
Leonard Marshall
always drafted
pass rushers.
Defensive pass rushers. Aaron Rodgers against the number one pass rush in his career, 1-4. Guess who's got the number one pass rush in all the NFL?
Niners.
Good guess.
Nick Bosa.
And they do it not with a two-man, not with a three-man, but with a six-man rotation that does not relent.
Does not tire, Matt. Plays with a high motor.
How about Pac-12 guys, DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, and on the outside, not Pac-12 guys, Dee Ford and Nick Bosa. All six guys have piled up sacks in the postseason, and it's one of the reasons why Robert Saleh has been a head coaching candidate, even though he did not land a job, but why the 49ers have been so damn good. Meanwhile, Richard Sherman in that first match, Aaron Rodgers wanted nothing to do with Richard Sherman. Only threw it at him three times, completed just a single pass for 7 yards when going on that side of the field. Both should be good contests. One of the things I love about the 49er-Packer matchup is it's the Kyle Shanahan coaching
tree. Oh, I thought it was the bet between Matt Kemp and Adrian Gonzalez that we talked about. I thought that's what you loved about it. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez was very
Packer. If the Chargers are out,
he's friends with Aaron Rodgers, but he's really a Charger fan.
Matt Kemp from Oklahoma City
adopted
the 49ers as his favorite team.
Disappointed in the answer.
Yeah. The
Ask him about the Super Bowl bet.
What about your Super Bowl? I just kind of like him. And he kind of likes the 49ers, so we figured, hey, let's get some.
Aaron sent me a jersey, so I put it on, and we did a video.
Okay. Matt LaFleur cited when he was hired by the Packers, incorrectly, by the way, as a Sean McVay disciple. He worked for Kyle Shanahan for 8 years when Shanahan was an offensive coordinator as either his quarterback's coach or as an assistant on his staff. He was Matt Ryan's quarterback coach when they went to the Super Bowl and won the MVP. He was the quarterback coach for the Texans. He
Young
was quarterback coach.
Offensive types.
Yeah, for the Redskins. So this is a Kyle Shanahan coaching tree with Matt LaFleur returning to take on the 49ers. Who you got, P, after I laid it all out for you? Who will we be talking about making the trek to Super Bowl 54 in Miami on Monday?
Niners Titans. Defense and running the ball, Matt. It's still sexy as hell.
Warriors big. That's who I got. And that is your conference championship preview presented by Bosley. Text FINAL to 85850 and get yourself a free information kit from the number one hair restoration spot in all the land.
Well, coming up next, we jump David Vassay with Alex Wood. Now, Alex Wood's going to join David Vassay later. It'll be a different interview than the one we do. Sean Green will also be on with David Vassay at 7 o'clock for Dodger Talk.
We are not talking to Sean Green.
But a lot of baseball for us today. Alex Wood, new Dodger, will react to everything and his strong words on Twitter yesterday regarding the cheating scandal. PMS continues on a Frogman Friday on your Dodger station, AM 570 LA Sports. Tonight, Dodger Talk will feature Alex Wood and Sean Green. It's all coming up right at 7 o'clock. That's when we are off the air. We'll be back on Monday in great sports talk. But that's 3 solid weeks of a lot of great content on PMS. And the PMS podcast, we were told by our bosses today, is a big priority, right?
Exactly right.
High clearance priority.
Top of the pops?
Right. So the Petrosyn Money podcast is waiting for you on AM570LASports.com/PMS or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone or any other place.
And a thank you to the union.
We appreciate
our union.
The union
flexed. Our union leaned on our boss. Our boss leaned on his boss, who leaned on his boss, and here we are today. Podcast priority number one, Petros and Money.
That's us, Matt, and we got some great football action. Now, unfortunately, no Atlanta football. Falcons are involved here.
No.
But we got some great football action this weekend.
This weekend, our doubleheader starts at noon. Chiefs v. Titans. Cinderella story. Superstar Patrick Mahomes out there at Arrowhead. That'll be heard right here at AM 570 LA Sports. Afternoon contest, 3:40 p.m. between the Packers and 49ers on our sister station, AM 1150. Remember, it's all brought to you by Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert. For a free information kit, you can text the word final to 85850.
Matt joining us right now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. I'll tell you what. If they had won the SEC championship and the college football playoff, Herschel Walker wouldn't be out there slapping cops in the ass, screaming at the band with a megaphone.
He wouldn't be doling out cash.
And putting cash out there. And Alex Wood knows, the classy dogs.
Class.
They would have not gone out.
High class.
Like old Odell Beckham. Wood knows. And he's back with the Dodgers, thank God. Dear friend of the show, we remember his meteoric rise a couple years back. We lamented his exit, and we celebrate his return. Southern pitching dynamo, straight out of Athens, joining us on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. It's Alex Wood back on the Petros and Money Show as baseball is in the news here in January.
It is?
And not for good reasons.
Oh boy.
Other than Alex Wood coming back to the Dodgers. Yeah! Hi, Alex. How are you?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Did you make you sick to see those, to see the way the dogs went down and to see the Tigers rise up? Or were you rooting for the SEC at the end? Or was it hard to swallow the bitterness and root for them?
It literally did make me sick. I've been sick the last couple of days. So.
We heard about
literally.
That.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
Like barfing or what?
No, just got an upper respiratory infection. Real fun stuff. So
Z-Pack.
Horrible. That's the reason.
Stamina Ice, Z-Pack on your chest.
Stop smoking all them cloves.
That too, the cloves. Make your lungs bleed.
This will get you, man.
So you're not you're okay with it today? You saw the Tigers at the White House, and you're kind of at ease with it, or is it still get your craw out?
I mean, it's hard not to be at ease with it because Joe Burrow might be the best college quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he probably definitely is. I mean, 60-some touchdowns. I mean, what a year for that guy. That was unbelievable.
Wait till Fromm outperforms him in the pros. Fromm's got the immeasurables.
We'll get you a ticket to the combine. You see it up close, man.
So how happy are you, Alex, to be back with the Dodgers? Or can you really afford to be thrilled about any of this type of stuff? Because you know what it's like to have to leave.
No, I mean, I'm thrilled, you know. My wife, I mean, we spent 4 great years there. You know, we had some incredible postseason runs. You know, it was a tough time when I got traded over to Cincinnati last year. But, you know, I met some good guys over there and had an unfortunate year for me, hurt my back. But I feel great and feel healthy now, and I'm excited to be back and hopefully make a deep run of the postseason.
Alex, share with us the cat and mouse game between pitcher and hitter and what each of you is trying to do in any given at bat and how one can gain an advantage over the other. Honestly, I'm just saying, like a straightforward at bat, nothing funny going on. What is that? What is that back and forth like when you're trying to gain an advantage and they're trying to gain an advantage? What is each of you trying to do?
Well, I mean, as a pitcher, the only thing you're trying to do, period, is one, throw strikes, and two, you're trying to mess up the timing of the hitter. So, I mean, that's literally all that pitching is. So I'll start there. And then this day and age, I mean, hitters are so good with picking up tips that things they do on specific pitches, you know, things along those lines. So, I mean, it's a chess match, man, you know. It's a chess match for sure.
Have you ever, discovered either yourself or through someone else on your bench that you were tipping pitches during a game, and how hard is it to overcome when maybe you don't realize you're doing it, but you are?
I'm certainly not going to hit them myself right now. when we playing with Chase for so long, he's one of the best guys I've ever played with being able to just go and watch any pitcher on our own team, on the other team, and kind of be like, hey, man, you should scope this out. Let me show you what you're doing, or going to the hitters and being like, hey, check out what this guy's doing. I think you might be able to get his changeup or a slider or whatever it may be. It's really something that it's like kind of like passing the torch, you know. When I was in LA, Chase kind of spearheaded a lot of that stuff because he's played for so long, and he got really, really good at picking up on things like that. And so, you know, he shows other hitters like, hey, listen, go in there, you go and you run through the last game of a pitcher, see if you can pick up anything. And you know, if one guy finds something, you know, they tell the other guys, and it's something that can be beneficial to a lot of the hitters.
So you're coming up on a decade in the league, still a little ways away, but you're getting there. In all those years of pitching, like, how often when you let a pitch go, can you tell that a guy just knows what's coming, or based on how he hits it, he either A, guessed right, or just, you know, he squared it up. He freaking had it. He had it read before it left your fingers.
Yeah. So when you're in it, it's a little bit difficult. Guys are so good these days, man, that sometimes when you're literally right in the thick of it, it's hard to know if they've got something on you. But there's certainly times where, you know, you get into advantage counts for the pitcher, or you get in hitter's counts and you'll throw like a nasty 2-1, 2-0 changeup down and away. A guy's really bad on changeups, and it's like in the zone the whole time, bottom of the zone, and just finishes just below or off the plate, and they just spit on it and they don't even make any sort of attempt to swing or anything like that. And so in the back of your head, you're kind of like, yeah, you know, he either didn't see it at all or he knew it was coming, you know. And so then you go in and you talk to the guys, and usually, like, Honeycutt was great at it. You know, like I said, Chase being like, hey, I think they got you, or, you know, like,
they're onto us.
His take was too good, you know, things like that. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't happen too much, at least not to me personally.
Now, we know you've gotten a little bit vociferous on Twitter about everything going on. We don't expect you to tell us all of your feelings, Alex, but tell us, how much have you been, are you one of those guys that talks a lot with guys that you know really well, or teammates on the phone or texting about everything that's going on, or are you just one of those guys that just kind of sits back and watches everything happen, and you figure you'll discuss stuff when you get to spring training?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly talked with some guys about it. You know, honestly, haven't, you know, I don't like to look back, you know, I only like to look forward. And I mean, all I'll say about, like, what I tweeted yesterday was the point of that has nothing really to do with a World Series for me personally or anything like that. The point is that the casual baseball fan, for the most part, I don't think understands the gravity of knowing what pitches are coming, even if it's 50% of the time, 25% of the time, 100% of the time. They don't understand the gravity of what that means. And so the point of my tweet yesterday was essentially to help most of the fans understand the severity of the situation. And that's all I really say about that. But that was the point of what I tweeted out yesterday.
What do you remember about game 4 of the 2017 World Series? You started, you only gave up one.
Not a lot, man.
No?
I remember probably three things about that 24 hours. I remember I could hardly sleep a wink the night before because I was so nervous. I remember getting ready and walking out to the bullpen, still very nervous. stretching and warming up and getting off the mound in the bullpen to warm up. And I was like, okay, I feel pretty good. I think I got it tonight. And then I remember getting yanked. all the in between that was pretty much a blur.
How much of a, if you can remember, you know, how much of a change have you gone through just as a pitcher since you were a Dodger? I mean, what kind of guy is coming back to LA as opposed to the guy that came?
That's a good question. You know, this last year was, I mean, the toughest year for me of my entire career. You know, it was, this game will break you, man. And I mean, especially for as big of a year as it should have been for me, going into my last year before free agency, and how much I did last offseason going into last year to be prepared and be ready, and to have it wind up, ending up going the way that it did, was incredibly hard. You know, I was in a dark place for quite a while. You know, with the injury to my back and just the mental toll that it takes on you. But you know, coming out the other side and feeling healthy and throwing well in the off season and training, you know, it provided me with an entirely new perspective on how I view my career and my life. You know, and I'm really, really, really grateful for that perspective, for sure. And obviously, you know, life's crazy. Now I wind up back with the Dodgers, you know, where I was for 4 years and where I called home for 4 years. And I'm really excited about that.
When you, not to belabor it or make you go through it again, but just kind of when you say in a dark place, is that just the rehab, not being around the teams? Is it questioning whether or not you're ever going to be able to play this game again and what you're going to do with the rest of your life? Like what goes into that?
Man, it's a lot. I mean, my back, I dealt with very bad back spasms. And when you're dealing with that, I mean, it's not, I don't know if you've ever had back spasms, you know, the physical pain of that is not fun at all, especially when it lingers over several months. So it starts there. And then not only am I in a new place, but you know, when you're not, like, this is our job, but this is what I love to do. And most of these guys that play, they love this game. And anytime that you're out for an extended period, you don't feel like you're a part of it, you know? And as much as you want to go and play well to get a contract and set your family up and all that stuff, at the end of the day, man, you just want to go and play and feel like you're a part of that team, like you're contributing, and like you have the respect for everybody in that clubhouse and all the guys you're playing. And when you're not living up to those expectations physically, whether you're hurt or when I did play, you know, it was a struggle too for the 30 innings I threw. You know, it just takes a toll on you, man, because you, I mean, at least me personally, I hold myself to such a high standard. You know, I don't cut corners, and I put in the work to try and be the best that I can be. And you know, when it doesn't work out that way, especially in what should have been a very big year for me, it's hard. It's very, very hard.
The just kind of one last thing going into that, because you know, you did have Tommy John in high school, and you're kind of at that age, right, where you really started. You're 29, and it was kind of right when people started getting into specializing early, and we started hearing stories about kids maybe throwing too much. Do you feel like that affected you? Was that kind of part of your upbringing? Were you throwing a lot? Were you maybe pitching too much before you were ready to pitch a lot?
You know, I don't, me personally, no. I mean, I think that's definitely a thing now for sure with how much these kids are playing year round, and they're playing 80, 90, 100 games, whatever it may be. I mean, it's pretty wild. But for me, I was kind of a late bloomer. And so when I tore my UCL, I had just kind of, I was in that in-between stage of where I was physically starting to like reach my potential. And you know, I got too strong too fast, and it basically, because everyone thinks Tommy John can be, it is a wear and tear type of injury, but it can also be acute. And mine was essentially like an acute injury. Like I threw one pitch and partially tore my ligament, and it was because I was growing at such a fast rate in such a short period of time. And so, you know, that was at the time, that was something we thought about, like, was this a wear and tear? And we pretty much got assured by Dr. Andrews, like, listen, this was not a wear and tear issue. This is not an overuse injury. This was an acute injury that happened when you threw one pitch. And so that kind of laid my mind at ease, kept my mind at ease after that. And then, you know, I was still a young kid, so I didn't think much about having Tommy John surgery. It was, all right, I'll rehab and I'll be back and playing baseball again, you know?
Well, he's not a young kid anymore. He's coming back to the Dodgers, a grown-ass man, the great Alex Wood. And I'm sure he lived in, like, Glendale or Studio City when he was first a Dodger, but now Sunset Strip.
Sunset Strip.
High rise or corridor.
Sunset Strip.
Yeah, Wilshire Corridor, maybe Hollywood Hills.
Is he living in Chateau Marmont?
Oh, he's going big time. Living the penthouse, you know, you old school hotel life.
You got free rent. That's good with me.
Free rent. Come on, Alex Wood.
Finally.
Free rent's connected to your shoulder there, brother. You're a pitcher. The great Alex Wood. Thank you so much, Alex, and we really appreciate you joining us. Welcome back to Los Angeles, and stay healthy. Have a great offseason, and we'll see you in the spring.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Alex Wood, everybody. Bring him the wood on the Petros and Money Show right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. We speak from experience. We love Postmates. They are the leader in delivering nearly anything and everything on demand, and they want you to take care of your chicken.
And if you're like me, you have a deep hunger, and you want that food right away, and you want your chicken or anything else taken care of. And that's what Postmates does. They're the most reliable and the quickest in our experience.
And they got something special going on this Sunday, January 19th, with the champion of all chicken deals. They're giving away $1 million worth of your favorite chicken. You want to get in on the $1 million worth of chicken giveaways? Open Postmates, find your favorite chicken order, and use the code FREECHICKEN. One word, FREECHICKEN. The offer is available Sunday, January 19th, only $1 million worth of chicken. Get in on it at Postmates.
And now it's time for the Secret Textoso Rodeo Roundup, brought to you by another great sponsor, Chevrolet. The Secret Textoso
line. Sold out to Chevy.
Don't forget about the big Dodger game coming up. Well, not a game, but you can make a game out of it, listening how many times David Vasse washes up Alex Wood. And Sean Green, Dodger Talk, coming up at 7 o'clock. Matt, we got some textosos brought to you by Chevrolet. Cates, are you in there? Because this is somebody did a deep dive on Cates' timeline to see his 10K thirst trap tweets of Cates' wife.
Love it.
And he came across this tweet as well from January, February, March. From March 6th, 2019. And that was when we had Landry Shamet, Clippers guard Landry Shamet, on the Petros and Money Show right now on AM 570 LA Sports. We found that tweet. It is from last March. So we are coming up on the one-year anniversary.
Getting close.
From the last time we had an actual Clipper guest. And whenever we're coming up on any Clipper milestone, we like to play the Fred Rogan voicemail that he left for one of the top Clipper PR people. Now, obviously, the president of the Clippers hates me, but I think the top Clipper PR guy, Chris, really hates Matt, because Matt has put this voicemail out on the air of Fred castigating him for not sending him a special chair.
Hey, Chris, hey, it's Fred Rogan. I'm the sports guy at Channel 4, and I also work at KLAC with Rodney Pete. We do the midday show. We saw you send a lot of chairs over here today to the producers, to Petros, to Money. I think Big Boy got a chair.
We didn't get a chair.
We didn't get any chairs.
Chris.
And we're on the radio station. Chris. So I'm going to talk about that today. Like the minute we go on the air at noon.
Right when we get on.
So please be listening. Because I'm going to give you a special shout out. You have a good day.
Oh.
You have a good day.
See, now that worked. I mean, he got what he wanted. Replay. He got what he wanted. But we don't get anything. Not since March. When was that voicemail?
That is the oldest text I have on my phone. It is from
We're doing some forensics here.
It is from September 7th, 2017.
Wow!
It is the oldest text I have on my phone.
Pretty good, Matt. I mean, it's kind of easy to discern how things have gone since 2017. When you start to lay out all the social media forensics that we can...
September 7th.
Sweep together.
2017, Chris.
I felt like today, when I was teaching my first period class, this is a high school teacher. The secret text also line. Summed up the recent themes of the show. While the kids worked on the communist revolution, Rooster came on the 90s grunge station. Got that, Ronnie? Being the communist in Vietnam show of record,
Pinko,
I thought it fit perfect for that during their communist revolution assignment, I screamed at the top of my lungs, "They spit on me in my homeland." We teach people things. We're about learning.
We're Bolsheviks.
Decembrists.
I'm an engine driver.
I'm totally with you guys. I have a left arrow by work that will not change unless somebody stops at the light in the opposing directions. So if no one's around, F it. I go.
Enough!
Did Look, you?
Burbank's making the adjustment. I had it today at Pass and Olive. It's fantastic. Flashing yellow. I can see what's right there coming. I'm going.
I told you about my yoga teacher with her anti-racism workshop that she tried to get me to go to.
You did. How many hours was that again?
Four.
Four. Three.
But I said it was a two-day event. It's only one.
One day, 4 hours. 3 hours of conversation, 1 hour of yoga, or two and two?
I don't know.
Or is it like half hour yoga, half hour conversation, half hour yoga, ping pong?
But somebody sent me a very, a text that I just didn't consider.
Which
said,
is?
Did you tell her your Tuesday show is called Racist Tuesday?
Maybe you and I are coming at this from different angles. And never may we meet in the middle. I don't think she would be receptive for the manner in which we take on racism.
No. If you are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know he ain't gonna die.
Speaking of racial diversity, one of our wealthiest listeners, Hedge Fund Ryan, texted me the other day.
We're diverse. We cover all income.
He texted, I miss Vietnam Christmas.
Of all the things to miss.
Yeah! If I ever find the traffic engineer who designed all these goddamn left turn arrows in the streets of Fontucky, I'll rip his guts out like Dolomite! P.S. I'm a black man.
Well, I can say Dolomite.
And I will turn rather than sit there like an a-hole.
Good for you.
Gerald. From the 909.
Good for you, Gerald.
We'll be right back with more great sports talk for the people. Remember,
great sports talk.
If you're talking to somebody about Vietnam, throw the rooster on. See how it textures the conversation. We'll be right back with your quick hits. We're going to replay Don McLean, the birthday boy, and your dead and alive guy birthday of the day, all leading up to Dodger talk. Thanks to Alex Wood. What an interview. Huh?